The blowing snow is bitter cold. Snoopy has his food dish clamped between his teeth as he stands at Charlie Brown's back door. Charlie Brown calls out to him, "Go, be warmed in the field," as he shuts the door. And as Snoopy trudges back to his doghouse, he says, "What good is that?" James says it in a little bit different way. James chapter 2, verse 14. "What use is it, my brethren, if someone say he has faith but has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing or in need of daily food, and one says to them, 'Go in peace, be warmed and be filled,' and yet you do not give them what is necessary for the body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself." James seems to be writing to a group of Christians who are going through the motions of following Christ. They claim to be religious. They claim to be followers of Christ. They claim to be obedient. But there's no outworking of it. One of the key phrases is in verse 21, chapter 1, verse 21. "Therefore, put aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness. In humility, receive the word implanted." In humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. That is a faith that saves. Then he launches right into, "But prove yourselves to be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who delude themselves." And he goes on to say, if you're a doer of the word, it'll impact your speech. It'll impact how you handle your anger. It'll impact how you care for and treat other people. It'll impact your sanctification. It'll change who you are if you go to the Word of God and let it become a part of your life, so that you become not only a hearer, but a doer of the Word. Faith put into practice. Quoted Howard Hendricks a couple weeks ago when he said, "Don't tell me what you believe. Tell me what you do, and I'll tell you what you believe." And we're good sometimes at mouthing the words and saying, "I believe this and this and this," but does our action pick that up? I use the illustration, I may say that I believe a healthy diet, a balanced diet, is very good for me, but if I eat Tillamook vanilla bean ice cream, which is my favorite, three times a day for the meals, you'll say, "Okay, you can tell me you believe that a balanced diet is good for you. But by your actions, I can see that you don't." There's a connection between faith, what we trust in, what we believe, and the works, how we live that out. And that's what this passage is talking about. He says, genuine faith produces works. Genuine faith produces works. He starts with two rhetorical questions. What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but no works? Can that kind of faith save him? It's not just that can that faith save him, it's can that type of faith save him? Can a faith that has, that doesn't have any results, doesn't have any production from, can that bring salvation to him? The assumption is both those questions is the answer is no. In fact, the Greek construction of the second one demands a no answer. The faith works dichotomy has been a struggle for the church its whole existence. The Protestant Reformation came out of this dichotomy of faith and works. You had a church that was so structured on tradition and on works and on what I'm doing and who I, you know, and how I bring it about, that they forgot faith. And that's where Luther came in and said, but our salvation is by faith. He talked about the doctrine of justification by faith alone. to the point where when you read the book of James, he said it's a straw epistle, or epistle of straw, because he saw so much of the emphasis on works. Now later on he recanted that statement and said, yes, the book of James does belong in the canon, belongs in Scripture. Because it's not that James is teaching a different gospel. Some have pitted Paul's teaching on justification by faith against James talking about faith and works. They're not opposites, they're the same thing. Galatians 6:10. I'll just read a couple. Galatians 6:10 says that, so then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are the household of faith. Philippians 2:12. Passage that is very familiar. Many of you memorized this. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's not a work salvation. It's working out your salvation. For it's God who is at work in you, both the will and the work, for his good pleasure. The author of Hebrews. Are any of you Jeopardy fans? Did you see the controversy last week about Jeopardy?
Yeah.
It was a biblical scholars are pulling their hair out because the answer was, let's see if I wasn't going to put this in, so I shouldn't. Paul, the epistle of Paul, that has most Old Testament quotations in it. Now what would you think? Romans. What's another one that could be?
Hebrews.
Their answer was Hebrews. And all these biblical scholars are saying, we don't know for sure who wrote Hebrews, but most of us have read it wasn't Paul. But anyway, I digress. So they got a lot of feedback on that. But anyway, so Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews, be it not Paul, I know that, but without, I don't know that, but I think that. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. This is what faith is. He who comes to God must believe that he is, that he exists, and who he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who seek him. And then he goes on to have this faith chapter, and every one of those expressions of faith are followed by what? We could use the word works. It's obedience. Every one of those comes down to they had faith, therefore they did this. They had faith, therefore they did this. Even Jesus in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, and he says it several times, but this is just one instance. For not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. It's not that he's teaching of work salvation, but he's saying there needs to be a response to your faith. If you have faith, there needs to be a response to that. So that if you have a genuine faith, it has a production in works in some way. Look back at chapter 21, verse 26. If anyone thinks himself religious, yet doesn't bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart. If you think you're religious, and then you go to 2:14, if you think you have faith, if you claim to have faith, and it doesn't result in some kind of action, we question whether you have faith. It's not that your faith is a result of your works or based on your works. It is not. But if you have faith, there should be some visible evidence. Part of the struggle we have is we think we know what the visible evidence should be. So then we start saying, well, they're not doing this, this, and this. Therefore, they must not be believers. But salvation is more than simply praying a prayer when you're 10 years old and then living the rest of your life the way you want. This is an argument against easy believism. I've had some people come to their graveside and you talk to them. The family says, yeah, when he was, 7 years old, he went to Sunday school and he prayed a prayer. And we're trusting. Well, I'm not going to say that person. It's not up to me. I don't know that. But what he's saying here is you can't just say, okay, I prayed a prayer. I went over this prayer when I was seven, and then I can do whatever I want for the rest of my life. It's not that whatever you do negates your faith. It's that if that is true, genuine faith, there has to be an impact. It should be an impact in your life and how you live there. 2 decades ago, there's a huge controversy over it, and I still hear ramifications of that. Huge controversy over this faith versus works salvation. And how do you do that? And a lot of it comes down to making sure that you stay centered on what Scripture says. So this, again, this is what Paul says. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God, not of the results of works, so that no one may boast." There's no question about that. Salvation comes through faith, by grace through faith. It's a gift of God. I didn't do anything to earn it. I can't boast about it because I had nothing that I could stay and say, okay, God, this is why you've allowed me into your heaven. It's not based on anything that I've done. It's very clear. But the next verse says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus by good works, which God prepared before him so that we would walk in them." So if there's a faith that takes place, there needs to be an expression of that in our life, not to earn the faith, not to justify the faith, but as a natural result of our faith. So our works are not there to earn our faith, but it's there as a result of our faith. Then faith has a bogus faith, and that's what it is. This is a bogus faith that's very unproductive. He said, if you have faith that has no works, and he would call that a bogus faith. It's not true faith, because true faith should have an expression that comes out of your life. Bogus faith is unproductive. Then he says, faith is to have a practical expression. This is just very, if your brother or sister is without food or in need of daily food, these are the basics of life. You need clothing. You need food. You need health care. You need cell phone. You need internet access. The things you have to have in life, cable TV, ESPN, you know, those things you got to have in life. But he's saying here, you know, if you see a brother or sister who doesn't have the basics of what they need, and you say to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled. Now that, for you English majors, be warmed and be filled can be either in the middle voice or in the passive voice, and either one fits, and either one makes sense, and either one carries a little bit different message. In the middle it says, go in peace, warm yourselves and fill yourselves. I see a need. I have the wherewithal to fill it. But I say, okay, you take care of it yourself. And there are times when that should be happening. But he said, if I have faith that is productive, then I need to be working to help them. Maybe even help them learn to do it themselves. Or the other is a passive. It's just kind of, okay, you know, be warmed and be filled. It's almost, in fact, the Phillips and the New English Bible translates it this way. Good luck to you. And that phrase, go in peace, that's a Jewish phrase that kind of has with it the idea, it's a kind of a phrase of dismissal. Go in peace. Like, I really don't care. Just go take care of yourself. There are times which, and I very rarely use this, but people that I know real well and who know Scripture, sometimes they'll, you know, if they give talk to me about a need that they have, and I know I'm powerless to do anything about it. You can always pray about it, and that's the place to start. But if I can't do anything more, I'll just say, "Well, be warmed and be filled," and they'll know. You know, it refers to this passage here. It's kind of like what Charlie was saying to Snoopy. It's not that I don't care. It's just, you know, I feel powerless to do anything. And he says, but if they have a need and you say to them, go take care of it yourself, or just, you know, slough it off, and you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? How often in our lives do we hear about a need that we could respond to? I mean, this Tuesday, I mean, it's a big hype, you know, it's Giving Tuesday, and everybody's out there saying give to our cause, but do we really respond to the needs that are put before us? Do we take them to the Lord and say, should I be giving to this need? And we can't meet the need of everybody and everything out there. But we can look at those and say, God, what do you want me to concentrate my ability to give and to help out? How can you help? How can I help to do this? Rather than just saying it sheds, you know, just shed all responsibility. It's a call for action. And we need to meet those needs with discernment and with wisdom. Sometimes when you meet a need like that, you're enabling them. Sometimes you're just, you know, you're just giving them money that they're going to blow or whatever. And so we need to be discerning. We need to be careful not to respond to every need. But we need to be careful that we don't just callously set aside needs that come to us and say, I'm not going to do anything. Sometimes those needs don't require money. Sometimes they require our time, our attention, our listening, our love, our sitting down with people, working them through their difficult times. So we need to be careful that we don't shed the responsibility and just say, you know, you go take care of it. But be willing to give them what is necessary for their bodies so that our faith expresses itself in works. Even so, faith, if it has not works, has no works, is dead, being by itself. The contrast here, this is important, the contrast here is not between faith and works. That's not the contrast. The contrast is between faith that has works and faith that does not have works. John Calvin said, it is faith alone that justifies. But faith that justifies can never be alone. It is faith alone that justifies, but faith that justifies can never be alone. A dead faith is a counterfeit faith, and it lulls the person into this false confidence that I have eternal life. And he says, we need to be careful as we go through life that we take that faith and that it responds in helping people, working with people, encouraging people, caring for people, praying for people, visiting people, sending notes to people, all that, that's a part of an expression of what God has done for us in our life. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the practicality of this message that James gives us. That, you know, we can say that we believe. We can say that we've, you know, done all these things. But the reality is sometimes we sit and we listen, we hear needs, and we walk away and we become callous to them. And we may have the resources, the time, the money, the ability to meet some of those needs and help us not just walk away and not respond. Give us a faith that is so appreciative of what you've done in our life that we turn it around and we share that grace with other people. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.